Would you welcome to Pittman the Reverend Dr. Ji-San Kwok.
Let me read the book of Acts, two verses of the 20th chapter, verse 23 and 24. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Our task that the Lord has given us, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. I would like to sing this special song called The Summons, one of my favorite songs today. Not that I'm singing, you're going to sing it. Will you love you that you hide when God calls your name? Will you go and share that love with those people that need your touch? My grandmother died at the age of 93, my mother's side grandmother. When she was too old in her mind that she couldn't do anything much, that had to live in the nursing home, that she will call me and ask me to write down all the names of the congregation members that I served. And she would pray for them every morning. I would write in Korean, of course, Jim Bolton in Korean, phonetically. Then she will call everyone's name one by one and pray for them. So don't say you are too old to do anything. Don't say that you are too weak to do anything significant. All the churches that I served in the grace of God grew and glorified God's name together. And I believe that it was my grandmother's prayer that helped all of us to grow together. I came to the United States in 1987 to study at Drew Theological School in Madison, New Jersey. Drew University is one of the United Methodist-sponsored schools. Its seminary has produced thousands of Methodist pastors who are now serving churches all over the world, and I am just one of the many. In 2011, I was named as the first Korean woman district superintendent in the Greater New Jersey Conference. Actually, I was named as the first Asian woman to serve as a district superintendent in the Northeast jurisdiction of the United Methodist Church, which consists of 10 annual conferences like Greater New Jersey Conference. I shared this because I would like us to see how the past is alive in this present moment. Lord Alfred Tennyson, poet laureate of the United Kingdom, during much of Queen Victoria's reign, once wrote in his poem about Ulysses, "I am a part of all that I have met." Tennyson's words still ring true in 2014 on this Sabbath day, as we find ourselves worshiping here in the sanctuary of the Pittman United Methodist Church. My specific mission today is to help us to remember our roots and our development. In other words, I would like us to remember that we are a part of all who have walked this way before us. Certainly we remember some of those we have met personally in our life journey, who've helped us along the way, professors, ministers, Sunday school teachers, laity, family, friends, and colleagues. But there are also those who lived a generation or more before us, whose unselfish and tireless dedication to equality, justice, mission, and education created a pathway that began to open doors that had long been locked because of gender, ethnic, and racial bias. These saints of the past who have already died in the faith are not only met in the textbooks, professors' lectures, and historical exhibits, but even now, in the living, out of our days, here in the present, as barriers continue to be broken and walls continue to be torn down. We are a part of all that we have met. In Seoul, Korea, there is a place called Yanghwajin, the Foreign Missionary Cemetery. The king of the Joseon Dynasty, the old Korea, created a cemetery for foreign missionaries in Yanghwajin. Currently, 145 foreign missionaries and their families are buried there. Most of them are from America. Korean churches visit there to hold memorial services regularly and to express their gratitude to those who devoted their lives to spreading the gospel in Korea in those early days. The ages of the deceased missionaries vary greatly. Some died in their 20s. They were young college graduates who came with fire in their hearts to the undeveloped, unknown land of Korea, risking their lives to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I bowed my head to give thanks to those precious young missionaries who lost their lives due to the local diseases. I think especially of Reverend Henley Appenzeller, a Drew graduate and a Methodist missionary, one of the first three American missionaries who introduced Protestant Christianity to Korea in 1885. The year familiar to you? 1885, the year the Pinmen was formed as a church. Along with his wife Ella Dutch Appenzeller, he helped establish the Methodist Church in Korea and traveled throughout the country speaking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Along with other missionaries such as William Scranton, Mary Scranton, John Heron, and Horace Underwood, the Appenzellers founded Peche Boys High School, the first modern Western-styled school in Korea. Of equal importance, he also helped establish Ihwa Women's University in Seoul, Korea, the first higher education school for the females during the time when female children were not much valued and educated. It is now the world's largest female educational institution, where over 170,000 women have graduated, and many firsts have happened for women, including Korea's first female physician, the first Korean woman to get a doctorate degree, and who later became the university's first female Korean president. Ihwa Women's University also produced the first female lawyer, the first female justice on the Constitutional Court, and the first female Prime Minister of Korea. We are a part of all that we have met. As I recall this historical groundbreaking first in the lives of Korean women, brought about in part by missionaries like Henry Appenzeller, the story becomes even more personal for me because my mother was also a graduate of Ihwa Women's University in Seoul in the 1950s. It was at Ihwa Women's University that my mother became a Christian. And through her influence, the rest of the family eventually converted to Christianity, including my stubborn grandmother of my father's side, who was the minister of a Korean folk religion. My mother was an incredibly strong first, since she was the first Christian in her entire family history. In fact, she converted to Christianity during the 1950s when Korean women were still expected not to have their own voice. Her determination to pursue her faith in Christ during her time and place in history significantly influenced each of her children as well as all who knew her. She later led me in discerning my call to ministry. My Christian mother taught me to share love and compassion with others, to work hard, and to be faithful. I grew up wanting to live out these spiritual principles that she had demonstrated and passed along to me. We are a part of all that we have met. Interestingly, my mother's Christian education at the Yihua University, founded by Methodist missionaries with ties to Drew, remember Appenzeller, eventually led me from Korea to Drew, and now I am serving Methodist churches in America. The work and ministry of the United Methodist missionaries like Dr. Dwight and Sonia Strawn, also Drew graduates, who embraced me as their daughter during my college years in Korea, and work of the Appenzellers in the 1880s, has now come full circle, as many Koreans, like me, have benefited from their faithfulness and holy risk-taking. And Korea became the country where it sends out the largest number of missionaries to every corner of the world. Yes, we are a part of all that we have met. Do you know who sponsored the Methodist missionaries to Korea in 1885? 129 years ago, and since then, members of the United Methodist Churches, like Pittman United Methodist Church, your sacrificial giving of apportionment made all those possible 129 years ago and continued. Do you know who paid my tuition at Drew University, my seminary work, and my PhD work? Again, the United Methodist Church members like you. Your apportionment made my seminary and graduate education possible by granting me full scholarship when I was about to give up and go back to Korea. So I thank you. Your sacrificial giving not only benefited multitude of people now and everywhere, but also will benefit the people of 100 years later or more. While a student at Drew Seminary, I first realized that a woman could be both the pastor and the leader. Surprise, surprise. Many times in my life, I had been the vice president of this or that committee and had served in supporting roles throughout the Korean churches. But at Drew, I learned that I had the skills and calling to serve as a leader. I learned about inclusiveness, gender equality, and respect for different religions and cultures. And I learned that I was a product of all these religions rooted in my homeland of Korea, and that I, like many women before me, had something of great significance that God wanted me to do with my life. As you may know, in the United Methodist ordination process, the ministry candidates are interviewed by the 80 members of the Board of Ordained Ministry for 3 days. Now it's 2 days, but in my time it was 3 days. And it is the last stage of the years of long journey to the ordained ministry. Ironically, in my case, the night before I was scheduled to go before the board, I must tell you that I had already made the decision not to attend the 3-day interview and not to move forward toward ordination after those long years of preparation. My rationale was that I was at rock bottom in my life, crying in the darkness, and I did not feel adequate enough to take care of myself, let alone a whole church of people. How could I? And then later, in the middle of the night, a clergywoman of mine called to share her prophetic dream with me. In her dream, she said, I was praying while a spotlight was shining down upon me, God in female form took my hand and showed me a vision of many women weeping in the darkness. I could not go to the interview. My friend was one of many who affirmed my call to ministry. As I reflect on that dream now, and the place where I was in my own personal and spiritual journey as a Korean United Methodist clergywoman, which was not easy, I can now see how I am also a part of all that I have met, including those missional saints like the Appenzellers and the Stroms. Through the centuries and up to this very moment, we feel and see this connectionalism, not just as United Methodists, but as brothers and sisters of the human race, as well as we all gather in responsible community to see where we have been, where we are now, and where we will need to go. We must continue to ask, who among us is weeping in the darkness? What roadblocks and intentional acts of exclusion still need to be removed? Where are the places where we most need to take the light and love of God? Who will be the next visionaries, missional giants, and barrier breakers? And who will be the next first among you? We stand here in this place, the Pinmon United Methodist Church, acknowledging our place in the unfolding story of God's relationship and interaction with humans across the ages, responding to God's call. We look, listen, and minister. We study, learn, and preach. We worship, witness, and share. We dream new dreams. We cast new visions. Remember, and we love. And with God's help, we can learn to love one another more generously and more openly, respecting one another's different histories, cultures, and journeys, while knowing, just as Tennyson said, that we are indeed part of all that we have met, and knowing that we are indeed part of all the next generations. The next generation will meet. So we remember the words of Apostle Paul. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. May you be blessed, and may you be a blessing to all those you meet. Amen.